mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 377. I'm Adam, and Eldrad must live. And here's Debbie Melrose.
There's no need to obey the will of Eldrad. Put him out of your mind. You're free of him.
Let the side down a bit there, Debbie. Andy Nunny.
The gravity of the law finally caught up with him.
Let the side down there a bit, Andy. Mary Lang.
Eldrad, king of nothing.
Let the side down there a bit, Mary. Kirby.
Yes, pink striped overalls. Right. Yes, just like Andy Bandy.
There was opportunities there to have points added to the pots by various people, but none of you picked it up.
It was too obvious.
No, I'm sorry. We had to go for that one. I'm sorry. Points for everybody who said Eldrad must live. Nobody said it, so nobody gets any points. Yes, this week, listeners.
So no one's affected?
No. So
you already said it. Why would we say it?
Well, last time we did this show, most of the cast had said Eldrad must live. One person let the side down.
Said Eldrad must live. I think most of the presenters said Eldrad must live. I don't think most of the cast said Eldrad must live.
Well, we have a cast of presenters on this show. I can see you're actually endeavouring to get your points deleted this week. So allow me to make sure that does happen to you.
There we go.
That's the first point deducted this week. I actually got to add in someone. Can I?
Master.
A bonus point for Lillian Robin.
I was about to say that.
I'll beat you to it, yes. It's a bonus point, Lillian.
Why? Hang on.
Which dog was that?
Pardon?
Sounded like magic.
Well, the other one doesn't actually say anything, so it wouldn't be the other one.
Well, that's your magic then saying Eldrad must live, so bonus point to Lillian and bonus point to magic as well.
Can you, co-founder of the show just walked in. Can you make sure that dog stops barking? Your mum's in bed. I don't want her to stay asleep.
What? So, you don't want her to stay asleep?
No, shut up!
It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah, she's gone to bed. Can you stop that dog from barking?
Oh.
Thank you. Right, where do we get up? Tell you I was deleting points, wasn't I? And I didn't see what Lillian Robin said. Shut the door!
Well, Lillian gets a bonus point, and so does Magic for saying Eldrad must live.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but she's not in it, but that's fair enough. Yeah, I can go along with that one.
Boy in her mouth going.
No, it's Star being pathetic and what she is. Anyway, I was just trying to update the scores. Right, so bear with us. I had plenty of time to prep tonight, and it went wrong. Right, so we've got minus one for Andy. There we go. It's very unusual to start with. What?
I said I considered saying Eldrad must live, but you'd already said it.
Yeah, me too.
No.
You're
missing the point.
We're not supposed to be copying one another.
You're missing the point.
It's too obvious.
Please, damned if you do.
Right, you lot are talking. All points deducted for all of you because you're not listening to me. Right. Minus one. Minus two.
Debbie, I assume you watch QI, don't you?
Get in here.
I mean, do either of you... Kirby or Mary, do you two know what I mean? There's a program called QI, usually presented by Stephen Fry. But everyone got minus points. I've got a feeling we're going down that line tonight. It could be who has got the fewest minus points.
Yeah, the winner has the fewest points, yeah.
Yeah, I think that could be... That's where we're going tonight, actually.
I think, listeners, the only way I'm going to actually get a word in edgeways is mute everybody. So what we're going to do is mute everybody. How do I do that? Oh, yeah, like this. Right. Anyway, as I was trying to say, in the last time we did the show, we had three of the presenters doing the Eldrad Must Live and one let us down. So I thought on this occasion there was an opportunity for getting everybody to jump on the Eldrad Must Live bandwagon, and they all let me down. But there you go, that's the story of my life, isn't it? Right then, back to the show. Yes, this week we're going to be looking at Hand of Fear. And,
yay!
It starts with the conventional title sequence for the last time for Elizabeth Sladen. Well, at least... Jesus Christ.
Right! No, actually, that's wrong, Adam. It wouldn't be the last time, because the first episode would not be the last... The fourth episode would be the last time for Elizabeth Sladen.
I'm supposed to be the pedantic one.
Yeah, I know. I think I beat you to it there.
That's a very good point. Very good point. But I meant as in the beginning of a story. And, of course, it wasn't quite the last time because she was in Five Doctors and and some modern stories as well. So,
and don't forget K-9 and Company.
That's not Doctor Who.
That's not Doctor Who canon.
Point, yes, it is. Point for agreeing with me, Andy. Well done.
What?
It's not.
Of course, it's canon.
It's not Doctor Who. It may be in the universe of Doctor Who, but it's not Doctor Who. Anyway, right. So
it explains how K-9 came into her possession.
Fair enough. What the earth are you doing? Get away from my equipment. Get out of it. So, yes, we start with some spaceship and some audio talking of what sounded a bit like the end of a trial or an execution being arranged for somebody called Eldrad. Obliteration, to be precise, because he was in an obliteration module, which has been sent off into space by somebody in a very poorly constructed anorak. So it looks like they nicked it off E-17 and let it fester for a bit before wearing it for this particular rapid action. That was right into the microphone, Andy, point deducted. Right blown ears of every single listener that may or may not have been listening to the show up to that point. Right, where do we get up to? Right, so eventually they do obliterate his capsule in rather sort of building up the suspense sort of way. So I had the feeling of get on with it, you know, because we want to get on with the story, but eventually they do it, and they sort of do a little bit of a graphic that indicates that many years later, a bit like the beginning of Star Wars, long time ago, or a long time into the future, in a galaxy far away, somebody's wiring up some explosives. I was quite impressed with the explosion, actually, when the Doctor and Sarah arrived, just as they're priming the explosive, some bloke comes on the top of the quarry. Sorry, it's a quarry on this occasion, funny enough. It was
it
indeed
quarry.
A quarry. It's very unusual in Doctor Who, a quarry being played by a quarry. And some bloke waving his arms out, of course, the Doctor very in comedy motion waves at them, with Sarah, of course, and then the very impressive explosion occurs. Yes?
I mean, actually, it's very disappointing.
It's Slickstone's quarry.
Is it?
And Gloucestershire?
Gloucestershire, yeah. But well done, Kirby, on pronouncing Gloucestershire properly.
Thank you.
I don't think you did, to be fair, but there you go.
It should be fairly obvious that it's not Croydon, because it's far too nice to be Croydon. Having worked in Croydon, you know, even when they bombed it at the end and blew it all up, that would still be a vast improvement to what Croydon's like. Because Croydon is appalling.
Take what you need from the blooming chip bag, which is... In the freezer, but make sure...
Yes.
The big one.
Be quiet.
Thank you very much. Very, very nice. Do you want me to pour you a glass? No, thank you. No, I don't.
Go tell her to make pizza.
I've got a machine for that, innit?
Yeah, what's a pizza, yeah.
Yeah, she needs pizza.
Pizza! Pizza!
No, but just make sure everything's put back properly. Right. Good grief. Good grief. Right, that's retire
where
to.
Were we?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the feed that's coming through on Facebook. We've got Lillian Robin, who would get a point if indeed she was in the quiz. May have to get her into the quiz one day. Saying, Eldrad must live. Lillian. That's from a special bell. The special bell. So thank you, Laurie, for the special bell. Laurie says, happy post birthdays to you. It's our birthday, listeners. 8 years old today. Yes, still haven't grown up yet. And then she says, bonus point magic. Then she says, Eldrad must live. So here's for Laurie. And then she says, oh my. And then Lillian Robin says, bless you, Andy. Oh, this is going in reverse order, isn't it? And Lillian Robin says, thank you, Adam. So think of those in reverse order. back to the story. Right, so yeah, there's a big explosion. Sarah gets buried under a pile of rubble.
Master.
Nearly got to carry on, didn't I?
there's an urban legend that they destroyed a camera when they filmed the explosion. They did not.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, just letting you know.
Thank you.
Also, it must be the first time that Elizabeth Sladen didn't get inconvenienced by a very, very slow, very gradual slope. And this actually was quite a big slope that did her in the end, wasn't it? So it must be quite a change.
Although I was watching this with Fred, and she was wondering how they could move all these rocks so easily. I said, those aren't rocks.
Those aren't rocks.
Anyway, right. So, yes, like Sarah gets buried and eventually they do find her. But she does actually initially wake up and grabs this stone hand. Well, it looks like a stone hand anyway. It's got a missing finger and a ring on it. But when the doctor finds her, she's unconscious. Because, once again, for a little bit of a swan song, Elizabeth Sladen is doing some possessed acting.
Hooray!
Some possessed acting, I would say.
Yeah. Anyway, so she gets carted off to the hospital, and the doctor gets prodded and poked at by a doctor.
By a doctor.
Imagine that.
But does the doctor who's prodded and broken him take his blood and realise there's something odd about his blood?
Well, no, it's not, because he's her. It's not him.
Anyway, so Sarah's unconscious in some sort of hospital. A notification has just arrived on my iPhone. See? iPhone listeners. Oh. Our notification says Ian Kirk, audio for 13th of May 2018. So that's a little bit of a precursor to what's coming up later in the show. Yeah, so Sarah's unconscious and... yeah, they're just talking about that. And then, then we meet Professor... What's his name? Is it Watson? I can't remember his name. Is it Professor Watson, everyone?
It was Watson. Professor Watson, yes.
Yeah.
He looks very familiar because he's been in Doctor on several occasions. Three Doctors he was in. What else was he in then? Go on.
The character in the hospital is not Professor Watson. Professor Watson runs the nuclear reactor. This is Dr. Carter.
Yeah, Dr. Carter is
okay,
the pathologist.
Thank you. But I was talking about the actor. Okay, so I won't give you a deducted point because I got the name of the character wrong.
Rex Robinson was in Monster Peladon as well.
Yeah, wearing a silly wig.
Horrible wig.
Yes. So he very quickly befriends the doctor, and they're looking at...
and he was Dr. Tyler of the Three Doctors.
Yeah, I'd said that right. That's the noise the monsters
Kirby,
made in the Three
Kirby
Doctors. That's the noise the monsters made in the Three Doctors. they're looking at slides of, I presume, is it blood? They're taken samples from the hand, haven't they? And they're looking at the composition of the rock that the hand's made out of. Sarah, meanwhile, has a ring in her hand. And it's sort of glowing a little bit. So she sort of wakes up. So she's pretending to be unconscious. It's not actually Sarah, by the way. It's the servant of Eldrad. It's the servant of Eldrad.
Eldrad must live.
Even Ian Kirk says, my script, which I'm not going to say about because obviously he sent an audio through. Moving on. So, the Doctor and Carter are talking about, what's going on with the thing while Sarah, possessed, sneaks out and then shoots Carter with her little ring. Lillian Robin says Eldrad must live. You don't get any more points for saying it twice, Lillian, but good try.
No. First time she said Eldrad must live. Mm. Second time was Eldrad must live.
Okay, you get a point for that. So he falls down unconscious while Elizabeth Sladen does the best possessed and most comedic possessed acting of her whole time in the show. What?
It's wonderful.
Oh, yes.
Her possessed.
The Doctor, meanwhile, goes back to the quarry and has a poke around looking for clues as to, what's happened to Sarah or, this hand, and see if there's any more parts, I suppose, of the body. And then there's a phone call from Carter who says, your friend knocked me over with a glowing ring. And
Did
she do? Sarah wouldn't do that, says the Doctor, essentially.
Dr. Carter is not calling the doctor about that. He's calling the security people, say, hey, she's in red striped overalls.
Okay, I got that bit wrong as well. Just testing. But at some point he does tell the doctor, and the doctor realizes that there must be some connection with radiation and the hand and regeneration, etc., etc., and thinks and works out that the best place for a hand that feeds off radiation to go would be a nuclear power station. And there's always a nuclear power station nearby in Doctor Who, so it's quite handy.
Master.
Yes.
Makes me wonder how many of those power stations you guys have.
Hmm.
This one's actually been decommissioned. It closed several years ago.
What, before this was made?
this was set in the future, though, wasn't it?
No, no, it closed in 2008.
Guys, have you ever seen what's that bloke who the Welsh bloke who sometimes does comedies sort of two by twos? Beg your pardon?
Rod Gilbert?
No, the one that goes with Steve Coogan sometimes. Sometimes sees little
Steve Coogan. Oh yeah,
Steve Coogan. That's the one. Why say Colgan?
What's his name? You did.
It's Welsh chap.
Oh, I know the one you meant. Who was in Marion and Jeff, wasn't he?
He sometimes has this character called Man in a Box.
And he talks like this,
in which it sounds like there's a man in the box talking. He does this voice. Have you ever seen that? Because that's what Andy sounds like at the moment. Anyway, moving on.
Beg your pardon.
His name is Jeff something.
Is it?
I can't think of his last name, but his first name is Jeff.
Pretty sure it's not Jeff because he's Welsh. Anyway, so is it Rob?
Never mind.
Is it Rob somebody or other? Anyway, moving on. Rod Gilbert.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Coogan. And he was with. Moving back to the story, yeah. So Sarah goes to the nuclear power station and quite cutely knocks out the guard with the way she sort of just.
Can you imagine?
Rob Brydon. Yes, yeah, that's yes, it. Well that's done. It, yes, yes. Don't really get a point for that.
Have we got onto Rob Brydon talking about the Hand of Fear?
Because of your little man in a box voice that you did just a minute ago, which is what Rob Brydon does.
There is no way any television show could have such access nowadays to the works of a nuclear power plant.
Splendid. Anyway, so Sarah disposes of the guard in a very cute fashion where she just sort of fleshes her hand up in a sort of, in an almost I'm being really naughty way. I thought it was like she's had a finger to her mouth. She takes her hand up and sort of flashes and knocks out the guard.
What Sarah flashes? Blimey. I wish it was that piece.
Point to Dr. Frandy.
I'm going down so fast.
Right, so that's what she said, by the way. The Doctor and Carter, get the name right this time, head quickly to the power station, the Ford Capri. And the Sarah.
I was going to ask you what that car was.
I just said it was a Ford Capri. And okay. Sarah sort of bullies her way through the plant into a vault containing lots of radiation.
It's supposed to be the reactor core. Reactor cores don't look like that.
How do you know?
Shh, there's a strange banging going on. Can you hear that, Debbie?
Yeah, no. What is it?
I don't know. I heard this strange. Did you hear it?
No. Nothing.
It's like a sort of massive bang. It's gone now. Anyway, Sarah takes. Sarah's got the hand in a Tupperware
box. Massive bang? That's what she said.
Sarah's got her hand in a Tupperware box, and it sort of gradually changes. Grows a finger back.
Lunch.
Yeah, and the finger grows back basically, and then that's the end of the episode because it starts doing the hand thing. Like, what's that? That old American TV series. Was it the Munsters? No, was it?
No,
Adam's Family with the hand.
Adam's Family
does a bit of a homage to that.
I love the way that they did it by having someone's hand just stuck through a hole in the bottom of the box.
Yeah, you can see the hole, couldn't you? It's a bit of a shame, that. Yeah, so episode two comes, and of course that's we see that whole scene again, because obviously they had to make up a minute of time. And then we meet the controller of the power station, whose name is it? Watson? Is that the Watson?
That's Watson.
The thing I mean, later on in the story, I like about this Watson chap is his we have a bit of empathy with him and his family when he thinks he's going to die.
Yes.
I thought that was quite good. So lots of things going on. He's sort of shouting around and getting annoyed because this girl's been allowed to essentially commit suicide walking straight into a nuclear power station without anybody really stopping her. Basically, they couldn't stop her because she had a special ring. And then the Doctor arrives and tries to talk to Sarah through some sort of intercom. Of course, you definitely would have an intercom system in a nuclear chamber.
I love the way that the Doctor just sits around just waiting for things to happen. It's hilarious.
Yeah. He decides to go down. And there's a funny shot of scene of the hand sort of CSOing across the floor.
Yes.
And eventually it gets trapped into or locked into a nuclear safe, essentially what it looks like. I think the power station's set to sort of go critical, doesn't it? So as it will explode, and then the hand can absorb the energy. But they decide to nuclear bomb the power station.
He completely ignored Dr. Carter and his giant rubber spanner.
I did ignore that, yeah, because it's not supposed to be rubber, dear. It's supposed to be a real proper spanner, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, and no one could pick up a spanner that big and hold it in one hand.
No, how'd you know?
Yeah, and it even bends a little bit when he picks it up, which is what gives it away.
I'm pretty sure in his day, Jeff Capes could have done that.
What do you think? He could be a weight lifter, you know, really physically fit. Why shouldn't he?
Exactly. When they send in, I'm moving on a bit here. When they send it, because the doctor does a brilliant way of getting Sarah out.
You're really going through this real fast.
I am, yeah. The doctor, because of course the ring gets left behind, then Eldrad gets into the bloke who, one of the power station workers, who he manipulates into. Moving the hand elsewhere to further its regeneration. Yes.
And then it starts spraying acetone on the door to make it melt.
Yes, that as well. That's happened before in Doctor Who. The doctor sort of gets Sarah out of her hypnosis. There's a funny scene in which that chap goes to get the hand out of the little cupboard it's been kept in, and it grips his finger. Does look rather rubber at this point, but hey, probably because it was. I'm just moving on a bit. Oh yeah, and then that strange bloke goes around zapping people while carrying the hand deep into the power station. What happens in there? That one I skipped so fast forward, I missed the end of it. He walks into it. Essentially, they give it all this smoke and red light to make it sort of appear that he's walking into radioactive environment, shall we say.
Yes.
And then some explosions start happening, and that's the end of that episode.
Explosions.
Yes. Things start blowing up, and Watson falls over in the process. Let's move on a bit. The doctor sort of explaining to a rather ignorant Watson that things are going on, and rather critical things in relation to Earth and stuff, and he doesn't trust Sarah for obvious reasons. But there's going to be an airstrike. And like you said, they go a couple of yards outside the gate, because that would be a comfortably safe place.
These are going to be nuclear strikes. And where are they? They're barely a mile away behind a
jeep. Yeah. Okay, right. Somebody wants to say good night to everybody. Say night night.
Night-night.
Night-night.
Night-night, everybody. Yeah, go to bed. Okay, bye-bye.
Bless.
Bye. Well.
So, yes. There's a funny scene in which the doctor tells Sarah to hold her nose and open her mouth so not to perforate her eardrums. And, of course, nothing happens because Eldrad absorbs all the radiation and turns into a rather sexy woman.
Nothing's going to happen.
He does hold his nose, though, doesn't he?
He does, yes. Just in case.
Yes.
I was saying, Eldrad becomes this rather sexy young woman with a very deep, sexy voice and with great big green eyes.
They've used voice modulation. That's not
I don't
the
care. It's very, very
oh,
sexy.
Oh, don't spoil it, Kirby.
I
reckon
that's
sake.
What's her voice?
Yeah, I thought that too, and I didn't really care whether it was. So it's going to be a...
She's...
Was that of Kirby? For destroying the illusion of sexy woman with voice, yes.
But she's on the commentary track. Talks all
don't
about
care.
It.
Don't care. Sexy voice. Sexy lady.
Sorry, right. Adam, he is right.
Yes, but it's spoiling the reference. Oh, so all right, I'll give him a point back. I shouldn't really, but there you go.
Thank you, Master.
I don't like doing stuff like that because it's ruined my illusion of Eldradette. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Sarah make their way back into the power station because it's perfectly safe because all the radiation has been absorbed by Eldradette. And they meet Eldradette, who actually seems to be quite a nice girl, although she doesn't trust anyone for obvious reasons, and sort of uses her glowy blue eyes to get the correct information out of the Doctor. I'm not going to let Kirby say that it's exactly the same way they used for the glowy eyes in a previous Doctor Who story, which was the Planet of Evil. Different colour, but same glowy eye special
did
effect.
Did I say anything?
No, but you were going
did
to.
Maybe.
You mean, oh, maybe. You were. So
but
anyway.
I didn't.
Maybe.
So the lovely Eldredette starts making friends with the Doctor and Sarah, but Watson finds a gun in a drawer and comes in and tries to shoot her, which then sort of leads her to being a bit, you know, untrusting of people. And
isn't that the stupidest thing? I mean, if a nuclear explosion didn't do anything and a reactor exploding didn't do anything, he thinks a simple handgun is going
to... I accept is that he's being a bit desperate and he's trying anything, and the only thing he had to hand was, in fact, a little pistol. But, yeah, I like the fact that... He tries to kill... Oh, sorry, Eldred tries to kill Watson, but the Doctor talks her out of it. And they decide that, okay, Eldred knows that the Doctor's a Time Lord and can, you know, take them to... Or her to Castria or whatever. So Doctor,
yes.
Yeah, the Doctor takes that opportunity because as long as she's off Earth, she's safe. Or the Earth is safe, sorry. So she... he takes her into the TARDIS, and of course you have that old temporal flux thing and can't do any harm. Of course, that's depending on who's writing the script, of course, as to whether that actually happens or not.
Yes.
Hey,
there's a special effect that they did in Planet of Evil.
Yeah, what is?
they do the eye thing again.
Shut up. Right, so I love that when Eldred is in the TARDIS consult room, she sort of looks around, looks really innocent with the way she moves her head and her eyes, as if it's like a little bird in some ways, a bit like a pigeon. I thought that was quite cute. Anyway, they arrive on Castria, and it's not quite as nice weather there that was that Eldred was last there. And they have to make their way to... Where do they have to make their way to? There's a regeneration room or something like that, I can't remember. Not initially, was it?
Yeah.
Anyway, on their way through, the first door opens and she gets spiked in the chest.
Ouch!
Mm. And we find out that it's some sort of... what was the material inside that thing that was acid of some variety, wasn't it?
I've got it written down somewhere.
And she starts.
Wait, again, that's one of your questions, isn't it?
I don't know, but it was some sort of acid.
I'm going to say Andy's going to win.
And she starts going rigid very, very quickly. That's what she said. And so they try and get her to the regeneration room through various obstacles. Again, this is a bit like the Exelon City again in some ways, but without the puzzles. Yes?
Yeah. I love the way when the Doctor picks her up and carries her, how rigid she
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, really,
perfect,
really good.
You know,
yeah.
Crystalline creature.
Yeah. But anyway, they find this sort of this room in the end, and they after Sarah nearly falls down a precipice and has a few issues and starts moaning and grumbling about how bad a day she's having, essentially. She had it's quite a traumatic story for Sarah in some ways, been through quite a lot, which will come back later on in the episode. Anyway, so they find this sort of machine that is supposed to regenerate Eldred. Basically, it's a lump of flat stone which they put her on, and of course she starts going really, really crystallized and starts hardening up. And then the Doctor presses the button and this great big rock clamps straight on top of her, and they think oh, we've got her.
No.
Oh, that's what they wanted us to do.
Oh, no, it's Mr. Bill.
We've been fooled all along. And, of course, next minute, a man, Eldred, walks out.
And introduces himself, because he's got a very deep voice, because he's a man.
Even deeper than Eldred, Eldred's voice. And, and of course, then we meet King Rollo.
Rokan.
All right, thank you. Of course, it turns out that King Rollo is, in fact, he's been dead for many years, and they've been talking to die almost like an Alexa Echo thingamajig from the distant past. Rokan.
How come Alexa didn't respond to you?
She's a good girl.
You You unplugged her.
No, I haven't. She's there. She's not being silly today like some people.
Alexa!
Oh, God.
Which device or contact do you want to call?
None of them. Shut up. Right.
I didn't find that device or contact name.
Well, I'm not really surprised. Anyway. Yeah, so hang on. I lost where I was now. Hang on. Looks like my DVD player is attempting to crash at the moment. What on earth was that noise?
That was me sneezing, but I had my hand up the microphone, so I was trying to mute it.
Fairly successful attempt there, Andy.
Just
a very strange noise. Anyway, I've lost what happened to Eldred at the end. What happened to Eldred? Oh, yeah, he fell down a precipice, didn't he?
Went, oh! He's in the good old scarf trip business.
Yes. But what happened to the ring? Because that did go down with him. Or did the doctor throw the ring after him? I can't remember now.
The doctor throws something which Eldred thinks is a ring.
Mm.
It's actually his little magician stick. Mm. But then he does throw the ring down after Eldred's gone.
Cool. So essentially, what they were trying to imply there, that might not necessarily definitely be the end of Eldred or the ring. But obviously, we haven't seen him since, so it was. Unless, of course, it appears in some big finish story somewhere along the line. Anyway, so Sarah...
There is, and I'll tell you about it.
Oh, is there?
Oh, good.
So they managed to get back to the TARDIS, that's Sarah and the Doctor. Sarah then sits moaning, grumbling about the bad times she's had, she needs a bath, etc., etc. And she's just not putting up with it anymore. She's fed up with everything, sonic screwdriver and all, and she's going to go home. The Doctor doesn't listen to her. And she said, right, that's it, I'm going home. And she goes off to get her suitcase and stuff like that. And then... the Doctor gets a call from Gallifrey. Can't take Sarah to Gallifrey, although every other companion I've had at the time I've gone to Gallifrey could come, but Sarah, no, because it's in the script. And it says, you've been a good girl, Sarah, and drops her off in Croydon, but apparently it wasn't Croydon.
No, it wasn't. No,
Aberdeen!
No, it wasn't even Rufford as we haven't seen, sorry.
Yeah. So there you go, and that was...
Aberdeen.
That was the
Aberdeen.
End of... Aberdeen, shut up. That's the end of... Sarah and, for the time being at least, Sarah's time on Doctor Who. Right, Hand of Fear, as I say, like somebody alluded to, we have reviewed this story on several occasions. And as far as I can remember, because I love it now, I probably loved it then as well. So I really haven't got much more to add to the fact that I love it. Of course, we can always be picky on any Doctor Who story, and if you really want to be pedantic. But it is such fun a shame to see Sarah go. But I think quite a good send-off for a brilliant character that she is. And, yes, love it. And what did you think of it, Andy?
I'm sorry, I didn't enjoy it. I find it's slow. What? There's not a lot going on to it. It's the way it ends is very good. The way that Elizabeth Sladen disappears is good. But I didn't enjoy it. I find it slow, tedious, boring.
Let's see what the people on the Facebook feed are saying at the moment. We've got Ian Kirk. Eldred loved rock music. Jeff Waddle says, happy birthday to Ian Kirk and to the host, because birthdays aren't showing up on my Facebook at the moment. Probably show up next Friday. Lillian Robin said, night night. Hey! Lillian Robin then says, Alexa, good evening.
And a pleasant evening to you.
There we go.
All right, then.
Something's come through on the news. What button has Donald Trump pressed today? Oh, God, it's giving out the blooming BAFTA results. Right, I'm going to have to ignore that. Right, I'm putting it on silent now. Right. Mary. Oh, no, not Mary. Sorry. Kirby, what did you think before we move on to Debbie?
Well, first, this is the fourth time I've done a podcast on this particular story, mainly because, obviously, we've done it twice. But this... As I've said many times before, I would not be a Doctor Who fan if it were not for this story, because I sat down in 1980 just to I was wondering what the heck this Doctor Who thing was.
Heard this one before.
Huh?
I've heard this story before, but carry on.
Yes. Well, some people may not have. And just started to watch it and immediately fell in love with the show. Immediately fell in love with Sarah Jane and was devastated because I had no idea that companions leave, that this companion that I loved, it leaves at the end of the story.
Well, how would you know whether they leave or not if this was the first one you saw?
I didn't know.
Mm.
So it was. It was a. I'm going. Why did they get me all excited for this companion? I knew there were companions, but I got all excited about this companion. I thought this is gonna be great to watch all these stories with her, and then she ups and leaves.
Yeah,
got me upset.
It's very very naughty of Elizabeth Layton to do that.
And
yes.
So I love this story. I love Doctor Who. So there. Thank you, sir. Okay. May I have another?
No, I'm going to give you a point for the love Doctor Who comment. And, of course, we've got to take Andy's point off because he's completely wrong. Right then, where are we up to? Oh, Debbie, what did you think?
Well, this is the second time I've watched this with the podcast, obviously, and also the second time. And it was just as fun as the first time round.
Excellent.
It's a good, solid Doctor Who episode, but it does follow the usual... There has seemed to be, Elizabeth Layden is possessed again.
Yes.
Quarry again. We're running through corridors and in a nuclear power station again. And it's that's fine. It's formulaic, but obviously it's getting to the point now where I felt anyway that Sarah Jane was sort of just dotting the I's, crossing the T's of being a companion for the past few stories. And yeah, it did feel like it was the right time for her to leave as a companion.
You're probably
so I'm
right.
Very keen to see what's going
on. I could have at the time that she left, bearing in mind I was watching Doctor Who quite regularly, I could have lived with her staying for a little bit longer.
I definitely could have, because I didn't expect that.
She was a bit like a member of the family by the stage, you know.
I just find her a bit over the top.
Okay.
That's okay. My opinion.
I suppose she can be a bit over the top. She's very complacent, and she's been used to travelling around time and space for quite a long time. So I suppose she, and of course she's very trusting in the Doctor, and she almost feels a bit invincible when she's with the Doctor, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie, and brace yourself. What did you think this time, Mary?
Well, I'm kind of in Andy and Debbie's camp on this one.
Thank you.
Where it felt very formulaic. And although I can't say I came to dislike Liz Layden, I felt like they just kind of ran out of ideas where she's concerned, because we're seeing her do, the same thing over and over. There's a sweet scene when she follows the doctor, when she's going to be the good girl and not go, because he told her to stay. But then she goes, oh, but I'm going, and she runs in to walk with him. And they say to each other pretty much the same thing. I want to be there with you because I want to look after you because I worry about you. And it's a very sweet scene between the two of them. But outside of that, it's just like Debbie said, pretty much everything is again. We're doing this again.
Like reviewing the story again.
We're reviewing the story again. It's probably why, like Andy, it felt like it was going so slow. And something that I wondered about is if people came into the story, let's say accidentally on the third episode, they would wonder, what is this Hand of Fear? Because there's absolutely nothing in episodes 3 or 4 that referenced, any kind of a hand. What I did read was that the original story planned for Sarah Jane's departure was a 6-part space adventure in which she was supposed to be, we've seen characters in later Doctor Who stories where they kind of sacrifice themselves to get the alien. And it was supposed to be Earth being attacked by these crystalline alien creatures. And she's supposed to go out in a blaze of glory for all that. But it eventually turned out that it just really was not filmable. And Liz Slayton did not like that kind of an ending. She wanted a more gentle ending to her departure. So they kind of filmed that thing and kind of tacked it on the end of this, because this story, of course, you know, ends a little soon. I think that's about all I have to say about it. Anyway, so it's not so much that I'm happy to see Sarah go, but I'm ready for something different.
Yeah.
And I understand that, the whole production team had put their heads together, and starting with the next story, we're supposed to see that things do go very differently. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mary.
What was the big finish thing with Eldred?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to say. There is more to the Eldred story. In Big Finish's Main Range, number 172, and it came out in 2013. It's a fifth Doctor story with Tegan and Turlough and Nyssa, and it's called Eldred Must Die. So it's a – I haven't listened to it. I just remembered it earlier today. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a Big Finish story about Eldred. And it's the only one I know about. But if there are any Eldred fans out there, you know, Big Finish, they do a great thing with following up on characters. So
they
it's probably
indeed.
A really good adventure with the Fifth Doctor.
I should have guessed that might happen. With
Eldred Must Die, it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Well, full title.
Really?
Okay, right, moving back to the Facebook feed, we got Alan T. Butcher, who says, Andy didn't understand. Ian Kirk says...
No, he doesn't.
Ian Kirk said, they put Eldred in a plastic box instead of a handbag. I suppose that deserves one of these. Alan T. Butcher says, there are yet undiscovered tribes of the Amazon who have heard Kirby's story before. And he means Amazon.com.
I love that.
We can get it on Kindle, basically. That's what he's saying. Ian Kirk's a talking to Kindle. You can get The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin by myself on Kindle. The paper books are very rare.
I've got it.
What, the paper one or the Kindle version?
Kindle. Got both. Got
good
all
boy.
Your
good
books.
Boy. Didn't get any money for that, by the way. I think they keep it to themselves now, Apex. You know. I bet I'll sell hundreds and thousands of the book via Kindle or whatever. Do I see any royalties? No. Ian Kirk, while I was editing my audio feedback, my computer crashed and I had a reboot. Copyright. Kirby. Lillian Robin said, Alexa, would you like a jelly baby?
I'll try one.
Ah. You were expecting something different there, weren't you, Lillian? Right. Mm-hmm. By the way, my favourite present, I didn't get a lot of presents, by the way, but my favourite present, as I swish the screen around a bit, is this lovely Tees Made here, the Tees Made, which I'm now going to switch on because I want a cup of tea. So that will probably make a strange whooshing noise.
What a handy piece of kit for podcasting.
A very handy piece of kit. And I've even got these little milk pots.
I saw you put them on there, yeah.
Little thing of tea bags here.
We finally got the keys to our new house. And yeah. I've got a little cubby under the stairs that's going to be my little podcasting zone.
Oh, I thought you said that's where you're going to have your teas made.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll put that in there too.
Tea bag in the teacup. So if you hear strange hissing noises in the background, it's just my Tees Made whooshing into action. So, yeah, looking forward to that cup of tea that will come up to me. So I don't know why Magic is in here. It's very strange that he's not whinging somewhere, but it might be because Alicia's back. Right, what else we got here? Lillian Robin says, try asking Alexa about a jelly baby again. Okay, Alexa, would you like a jelly baby?
Yes, please, Doctor.
There we go. Right. Of course, anybody listening on the Facebook feed will probably not able to hear what you lot are saying because of the Tees Made, but hey, they can listen to the podcast and get the full idea there. And Lillian Roberts said, yay. I suppose we better move on to feedback. What do you reckon? So, talking about feedback, did you post a request for feedback?
Of course I did.
Because I've been busy and haven't noticed.
I always do.
Oh, good.
Except when I don't.
Okay.
Most of the time I do.
Okay. Let's see what we got then. We've got a lot, actually. So we better go to your Facebook version, see if I can find it. Or if I can't find it, can you find it for me?
It should be readily available.
Should it? Thanks
That's
for that.
That's what she said.
Thank you, Andy. So very good implementation of the That's What She Said on that particular occasion. Right, let's see if we can't find it then.
It's like the second one down when I bring things up.
Yeah. But,
when you bring things up.
Okay.
It's got a picture of Andy Pandy and Sarah Jane.
Ah, I can see it. Well done, Kirby. Right.
That's, yeah, that reminds me. When watching Sarah Jane in this, it took me back to the days of Mork and Mindy. Did anybody watch Mork and Mindy at the time?
Yes, I'll watch
Mork
and Mindy.
That's how we used to dress.
Ah, humor. RR. Right then. Mary Blitz Lang says, a return to Mork and Mindy. Hang on, you just said that.
I saw that comment.
Laurie Nick says, I used to think it was Andy Panda, but he only wore red pants. Laurie Nick said, my comments are as follows. Then, there's lots of emojis, because Sarah Jane leaves at the end. Oh, there's some emotional stuff going on with her emojis. Lillian Robin says, wonderful story, fun, silly, great performances, particularly by the actor playing Professor Watson. Liz at her most possessed. Azal as the demon is back. Oh, yeah, the voice was great. I forgot to mention that. The voice of the male version of Eldrad was so good. I was talking to Deb at the time when I was watching. I said, hang on, Deb, stop it. I just love listening to this bloke's voice. Azal the demon is back as the male Eldrad who must live, you must know. Nearly perfect Doctor Who. Sniff, Sarah Jane leaves the TARDIS. I was so happy when she returned to New Who. And then Laurie Nick said, okay, upon a day's sedation, I can now speak in words instead of emoji. The main problem with the story is that I wished it had additional... You can hear my... Look, it's so good, isn't it? That's my tea's made, nearly ready to actually serve me up some tea. I wish it had an additional subplot to stretch it out to six-parter. Why? Because, see previous comment, also Lady Eldrad is fabulous. Gaga ain't got nothing on her. That's a very good point, Murray. Ooh, I just knocked my microphone doing that. Jeff Waddle said, I never sent feedback because I don't like this one.
All right.
Jeff.
All right. Okay.
Oh, my beeper's going off.
Sorry.
I just have to say okay. It's only my blooming tea's made. I'm just going to.
My cat freaked. That's all.
Well, because the tea's made went off.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that was my smoke alarm.
Yeah.
And it's just got enough hot water in it to fill up my TARDIS mug.
Oh, cool.
Don't say it in an unenthusiastic way, Debbie. Thank you very much. Otherwise, you'll find a strange sound effect coming your way.
That was me going, oh, cool, as in, wow, it takes that water.
What else we got here? And Alan T. Butcher, lucky Sarah was wear such an unobtrusive costume. Right, so that essentially is it for that side of feedback. We have got this, though, if I can find it on the thing without my teaspoon scorching my fingers. We've got this. Where's the sound effect gone? Oh, there it is.
Happy birthday, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Really?
Well, it's also Ian. My birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Ian.
And the Fear by Baker and Martin. Evacuate the complex immediately. This is an emergency. Oh. What was Eldrad doing in South Croydon? Oh, it wasn't South Croydon.
Sorry, that was my TARDIS bin. That was my TARDIS bin. I was just opening it up to put the tea bag.
You may need to restart because you can barely hear.
Shut up, right. Point deducted for Kirby for not letting me speak. I was, of course, apologising for opening up the TARDIS bin and putting my tea bag in it at that particular point and not being allowed to get on with the apology. Yeah. Sorry about that, everybody. This is a live...
Well, actually, I thought it was that Ian had added the sound effects.
No, please let me finish before another point is deducted. Yeah, sorry. I forgot how loud the bin is. Right, here we go.
Happy birthday, 20 Megabyte.
Oh, what's happened there? It stopped itself. Oh, dear. We're having streaming issues. Are you still there, Kirby?
Yes, of course.
All right, it's all right playing you. Well, when I want to play Ian Kirk's feedback, it's not going to play it.
It's an Apple.
Oh, of course, Skype is... Oh, it's not even Skype, it's Google. Google's run by Apple, is it? Oh, good Lord. Right, let's redo it. This is really slick.
Happy birthday, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Thank you, Ian, again.
It is also my birthday today.
Happy birthday, Ian, again.
Happy birthday.
And the Fear by Baker and Martin. Evacuate the complex immediately. This is an emergency. What was Eldrad doing in South Croydon? Oh, it wasn't South Croydon. A big hand for Eldrad. The doctor says they saved Eldrad and crosses both his hearts. The doctor says the atmosphere of Castria is near Earth normal.
Yeah.
This is not right, as being without life for millions of years, the oxygen would have disappeared. At the end, Sarah departs, whistling, Daddy wouldn't buy me a Bow Wow. The doctor later sent her a copy of K9.
Ah!
Daddy wouldn't buy me a Bow Wow.
Bye for now.
No, thank you, Ian, eventually. Sorry about that, everybody. Right, just to pre-warn everyone, I'm now going to close my TARDIS bin lid. It's not as loud when you close the lid as it is when you open it. Right, continuing with the feedback. Oh, dear. What's happened to my blooming computer? Oh, there it is. There we go.
No comment.
Pauses for reaction.
We hear you, Deb.
I love him, really. Eldrad, a warning from history. It's only a flesh wound, or silicon hell between a rock and a scarred place. Very good, Adam. Very good. Hey. Dear 20 Megabyters, The Hand of Fear is, of course, a closely studied treatise on the folly of writing.
Sorry, it just cracks me up.
Attempting to deal with deleterious philosophies by attempting to stamp them out of existence. Eldrad was deemed dangerous by its own community and designated for obliteration. In fact, Eldrad survives that community by just a fragment persisting. The full gamut of philosophy is passed on by the hand. This is signposted by the five fingers of the hand clearly representing epistemology, knowledge, logic, reasoning, metaphysics, being in general, aesthetics, beauty, and ethics, personal conduct. The hand of this philosophy allows it to take root again in others' minds and therefore become able to gather energy and fully reconstitute into a manifest dogma which develops further, using well-meaning people if necessary in a bid to dominate. The conclusion explores the choice of community to cease to be rather than risk being a part of a miserable and morally reprehensible society. Finally, Eldrad is neutralized only by ensuring a constant force is acting upon it by making him fall into an abyss. An ongoing fight against such philosophy is necessary as a static structure is ultimately ineffectual. It should be noted that while some might dismiss the concept of a silicon-based life form, it does remain the most similar element to carbon and does have some ALOGOUS properties. It is untrue that other unknown processes would be needed to fill the gaps in what silicon cannot do, but that would be why such a life form would be so markedly different. We also learned that Dr. Tyler, who once accompanied the doctors into Omega's black hole, had by now
Omega.
Changed his
name. Right, another deductive for the mispronunciation. Carry on.
Off. I've pronounced everything else so nicely.
Definitely Omega.
Carry on.
Name to Dr. Carter, but he did in fact survive the fall at the nuclear plant, later going on to be a leading member of the mining community on Peladon. All in all, The Hand of Fear was both an entertaining and distinctive tale which gives full rein to Sarah's famed propensity for being possessed in this her final outing for the time being. However, it does not do a great deal that is preparatory to her leaving. The extraordinary nature of the silicon-based life form is well characterized by both its capacity to regenerate and its passage through radically differing forms. It is Bob Baker and Dave Martin's common practice to employ contemporaneous scientific concept and stretch it fantastically. The idea they use, silicon-based life forms being the most likely alternative to carbon-based life, was certainly mentioned in my chemistry lessons some years later, even if mainly to point out the difficulties of this similar element in forming the flexible forms that carbon does. I was 5 years old when this was first on, and it made a lasting impression on me.
Later, when I was reading Target books, this was one of the first I approached, and with fully justified excitement. It is perhaps about 6 minutes too long, since if we cut the ending out, then Sarah didn't leave. Next up, Doctor Who and the Master of Tautology, or the Great Key of Rassilon, is always in the last place you look. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Alan. And Debbie?
Debbie? Yes?
Right. What was the title of the previous story we watched?
Why?
Come on.
Well, I can't remember.
Well, it was based in the Renaissance. That was a clue. What was the title? The Mask of... The Mask of...
Leave me alone.
The Mask of...
I can't remember!
Do you want the rest of us to answer?
No, yes. I know you lot know it. I was trying to give her the opportunity of getting a point for nothing. Never mind, I'll allow you to research that one, Debbie. And come back to me later, see if you can get it
Mandragora.
Right. Mandragora. Oh dear, what a shame.
Yep.
Mispronounced. I knew you were trying to get me to say it.
Oh, you knew you were trying to get me to say it. Right, okay. Right.
Mandragora.
All right, yes, Kirby, see? You get a point deductive for being a smarty pants. Because we were trying to avoid actually saying the actual pronunciation, but it was for Debbie's benefits. A point deductive for Kirby for being a clever clogs. Right then. So it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't.
Okay, Mary. Who do you think's going to win?
I think Andy's going to win.
Okay. Andy, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
Okay. Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Andy.
And Debbie, who do you think is going to win?
Me.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Controversial. Right, Mary, who do you think is going to be last?
Me.
Andy, who do you think is going to be last?
Me.
Kirby, who do you think is going to be last?
Mary.
And Debbie, who do you think is going to be last?
Me.
You can't have yourself at both first
Mary
and last.
Mary was allowed it the other day.
No, she wasn't.
No, I wasn't allowed to.
No.
All right, then. Andy.
Okay. All right. So you'll have your... joker instated, and of course if I say the words you won't get this one and you get it, then you get double points for that. Okay, so the first question will go therefore as per usual to Mary. Mary, which number of dome was Central Control calling at the beginning of the story?
I know.
I don't know.
Okay, apparently Kirby knows.
Dome 6, of course.
Of course. You need to get a point deductive for being as clever clogs again. I forgot to do the score.
I have to warn people, though. I did not study for this one as much as I usually study because I've done the story so many times. So, Andy, you're probably wrong.
Old chestnut. I did forget to do the scores prior to the quiz, but I'm going to leave that for everybody's, expectations or whatever. Andy, your question. I will say you're on -3 at the moment, just to let you know.
Yes. Okay, go on.
What ship was Eldrad in at the beginning of the story?
No idea.
Oh, so therefore we get a... Okay, anybody else? Should have said those words, shouldn't I?
Are you talking about the obliteration module?
Yes, I was talking about the obliteration model. Module. That's what the ship
you're
in.
You're looking for the name of a ship.
Yeah, no,
that's what he was in. He was in
the name of a ship. Because I always thought the obliteration module. I always thought the obliteration module.
Can you give up saying it so we can get on with the quiz?
Adam, can you make Kirby read out Alan's next feedback?
Yeah. I've done it.
Well, sorry, what's the module that you were trying to pronounce there, Kirby?
Obliteration module.
Hey, not going to hit a point for it. I just wanted to see if you could flounder again. Right, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What are the odds of the particle survival?
I know.
I think it's 3 million. Oh, darn. I should have done Joker.
Good grief. Well, it's not quite what I've got on the thing, so you're going to get that.
Can I say it?
Yes, you can.
It's 1 in 3 million.
Yes, Andy, you can say it because you're right.
I said it.
No, you did. You just said 3 million.
Said 3 million.
Oh. Yes. Right. Kirby. Oh, okay. we've done Kirby, haven't we? And not in the biblical sense.
Then good Debbie. Thing I didn't do the
That's
joke.
That's what she said.
Debbie?
Yeah.
What is the name of the man who activated the detonator? Was it Mark, Mike, Neil, or Rob?
I think I'm going to try my joker here. It's Mike.
Well played.
Mike, no! Mike!
Okay, right, there's 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. Do we remember what we've got to do with the bonus pot questions?
We say I know. We don't say...
All right,
say
Kirby, you don't have to go on a blooming a novel. Just say
now,
yes.
Now, can we joker them?
Yes.
Okay.
And if I say you won't get this one on them, that's quadruple times the points. At the moment, it's 3 points available. And the question is this. What injection had the medical staff given Sarah at the hospital?
I know.
Go on, Kirby.
And I'll joker it.
Mm.
Tetanus.
Is the correct answer.
No, actually, it's anti-tetanus.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, Andy's right.
Yes, anti-tetanus.
Oh, good. All right, actually, well done, Andy. I'm going to give Andy those points. Thank you very much,
Kirby. Wait a second.
No, sorry. That's what it was on the script. It was anti-tetanus. That's what it says on the answer
that's
here.
That's what a tetanus shot is.
Doesn't matter.
Mary, please come to my rescue.
You're right that that's what it's called, but in the script it actually said, because I wrote it down that way, anti-tetanus.
I agree with Andy.
I've written it down as anti-tetanus, yeah.
I agree with Andy. It's a bad luck, Kirby. Right then, so the scores are...
I told you I didn't do as much research as...
But it was a good try, Kirby. That's all you're going to get from me.
Yeah, Kirby, in the real world, we do just say tetanus, but...
A lot of the stuff in this quiz is based on script. Okay, so in last place with -1 point, it's Mary. In third place with 1 point, it's Kirby. In second place with 2 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 4 points, it's Andy. Next question goes to Mary.
Yes.
And it's this one. Now, what is Dr. Carter in charge of?
Dr. Carter is a pathologist, so I don't know. Is there any more that he's in charge of?
Well, the clue's in the answer you just provided me, so...
Then he's the head of pathology.
Yeah, but I'll give you that one. It's probably a bit too pedantic to give you say you're wrong on that. The answer on the thing was path lab, so essentially you would be in charge of pathology if you're... Yes, okay, I'll give you that one. If anyone has any...
Thank you.
Oh, nobody's objecting, so I was obviously right to give you it. And now the dog's barking. Hang on. Right, sorry, yes, sir. The dog was shouting because he couldn't get up on the sofa. And I call them kids, but the kids have stunk out our other room by cooking chips and God knows what else, and it absolutely reeks in there now. Alright, so Andy's question.
Okay.
It's gone very quiet again. Are you calling from the little box at the moment?
Sorry. No, I'm on the desktop still. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks' time, I'll have to go back to the iPad because of the extension. Zach will be moving into this room, therefore, I will not be able to record in this room. They'll be back on the iPad in 2 weeks' time.
Right, where were we? Right, Andy, this is your question. It's what strata was the hand found buried in?
Messianic.
No. Anybody?
Oh,
I should have said the words on that one. No, because that would have doubled the amount of points in the bonus pot. Very sensitive microphone you've got there, Andy. Right, and it is a Glaxstone Dolomite was the answer to that one. Who's played their Joker, by the way, just so I'm up to...
Me, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Just Kirby, then.
And I ruined it.
Yes, you did. Right, whose question this last one for
now? That was mine. Mine.
Kirby, this is your question, then.
Master.
How many stars featured on Sarah Jane's dungarees?
Jeez.
Three.
Debbie.
I have, by the way, Master.
Oh, God.
Yes? I have a friend who I see at conventions, and I'm assuming you're going to want me to talk about the convention later.
Mm-hmm.
That she has a Sarah Jane outfit and walks around with a Tupperware container with a little hand in it.
That's rather cool. Right. Sorry, is that it?
Yes.
Thank you. Right, next question goes to Debbie.
Yes.
How long had the hand been buried for?
I know.
150 million years.
Should have played your Joker on that one.
I did play my Joker earlier.
I did ask just a minute ago who's played their Joker.
I said I had.
I'll let you off then. Right, 2 points in the bonus pot. What phrase did Dr. Carter keep saying?
I think I know.
Oh, go on then.
Aldred must live.
Yeah. So they stay in the bonus spot for the next round. The answer was Great Scott.
Oh, really?
Was it?
Yes. Mary. Oh, yes. Shall we do the points first?
Yeah.
All right, in last place with 1 point, it's Mary. In third place and second place with 3 points, it's Kirby. But jointly in the lead with 4 points each, it's Andy and Debbie. And Mary, this is your question. What did the doctor advise Carter to do with the hand to stop it from regenerating any further?
Ooh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Anybody?
Take it away from the machine, from the electron microscope.
Yeah. Nope. The answer was, and I should have said you won't get this one, but I thought you would get it. That's why I didn't say it. The answer was... keep it away from radiation.
Yeah.
Don't start arguing, Kirby.
The radiation from the electron microscope.
Yes, don't argue, because you know what will happen. It's poised over the appropriate sound effect. That was a very advisable silence. Okay. I can't remember who that question was. That was Mary's question. Right, Andy.
Yeah.
There you go.
What nuclear reactor did Sarah take the hand to?
I know.
I know too.
No, I'm not going to get it.
And Kirby knows.
Reactor 2.
Oh,
no.
I know.
You can't have it now, Debbie, unfortunately, because Smarty Banks Kirby ruined it for you.
Oh, you're talking about Nunton complex?
Yes, it was. That was the answer to the question, which you got wrong. Okay.
I thought you were being specific about the reactor. The room is labeled R2.
Which nuclear plate did he take it to? It wasn't that specific.
And she didn't stop it, too.
You know how pedantic I am because I saw the science.
Well, if you want to win this quiz, be just a smidgen less pedantic. Right, then, next question goes.
As far as at least R4.
All right, shut up.
Next I was going to say, she didn't stop it, too. Sure. She kept going.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Nunton Power Complex also featured in what previous Doctor Who story?
Oh. Hang on, there's a moth on me.
Thanks.
Before we come up with the answer, was it?
You're going to be wrong.
I'll have a guess.
I'm going to be wrong anyway. Axos.
Oh, but what's the title of the story?
Claws of Axos.
Yeah! Well done, Debbie.
I don't have any good internet either, so I ain't cheating, so there you go.
Impressed. Right then. Bonus port, there's 6 points in it. Remember your jokers and me saying the magic words, if indeed they apply to this question. What car did Dr. Carter...
I know.
Go on in, Andy.
Right, Joker, you won't get this one in Oslo.
Hang on, I've got to say you won't get this one. Not you, you donut. Yeah, go on then. What's the answer?
It's an Austin Allegro.
Oh, God.
No. Yeah, I said it was a Corfor Capri, but you're right, it was an Austin Allegro.
It was.
Yes. I'm impressed.
Well, why did you say it was the other thing?
Because it looks a bit like a Ford Capri, but the Allegro is a poor
Mormon. They don't look any a Ford Capri. It looks nothing like the Allegro.
I think he was trying to mislead us.
Interesting to see that you were listening to me.
The Allegro looks nothing like a Capri.
I'm just saying, I'm impressed that you were listening, Kirby. You don't get any points for it. But yes, it was indeed, as it says in the answer here, Austin Allegro. Quite a lot of
and
points.
And by the way, how are we Americans supposed to know?
I don't care. You know everything, apparently, Kirby.
The Austin Allegro is actually a cult car. Mm. It really is an amazing vehicle.
It is indeed.
It was so awful. It was untrue.
The other reason, of course, Kirby.
It's got to be a British-only car, like a Ford Prefect.
Yes. The other reason... Of course, there's the Ford car that was used in the Harry Potter films is another example of such things. But excuse me. Yeah. Last time we did this quiz, that question was there, and you should have picked it up and remembered it from then anyway. Shouldn't he? Everybody.
That should have done that. I didn't listen to the last one.
Can I just say to you, if you'd all said yes, you would have all got an extra point for that. But bad luck. Right then.
yes.
Yeah, not you, Kirby. You finally eventually get to your question.
Adam, how many points did you actually get for that then?
Oh, quite a lot. 12. All right, Kirby.
Yes.
Master.
Where did Sarah Jane lock herself in?
R2.
Doing well, aren't we? Anybody?
Well, I think she's locked in R4, isn't she?
Oh, Lord. Nope. It's the outer chamber of the reactor core. Right.
Reactor 2.
Right. Point deductive for Kirby for being overly pedantic. The answer is, I'd have already said the answer, the outer chamber of the reactor core is a point deductive for Kirby. Right. Right. Was that Mary's question originally?
No, I don't know this question you're after. Oh, right, then. You did the bonus.
Yeah, I know. People keep putting me off, and I should really deduct points from all of you, apart from Andy, who actually seems to be concentrating on the quiz. Debbie.
Wait, you did the bonus question, and then Andy answered it, but you treated it like that was Andy's question, and it's not, it wasn't.
So you didn't get your question. Is that what you were saying, Mary?
Yes. Yeah.
I apologize.
You should have started with me, not Andy.
Yeah, you're right there. But can
so,
I just...
Which means you skip
right, another
me.
Point deducted for Kirby for not allowing me to speak.
Kirby, we start with Mary. Mary is first. Yes. We just have bonus pop questions.
Yes, which Andy answered.
He did say, address it to me.
Yes,
I know, because
you lot keep putting me off.
Started with Andy and then moved on to you rather than...
Yes, I agree.
Oh, I understand what happened.
So therefore, it should be Mary's question, then we skip past. So have you had your question, Kirby?
Yeah, Kirby had his question.
So we've had Andy and Kirby have had their questions on this round, and you haven't. So no, you've had your question. So all I'll do is go back to Mary and then do Debbie, and then we're back to where we should be, aren't we, everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. Shut up then. Right. Mary.
Yes.
I forgot where I was now. Oh, here we are. Right. Who is the professor? Who is Professor Watson's assistant?
Joker. Mm? Miss Jackson.
Hooray.
Great answer. So that worked out in your favour a little bit there. Right, so then we move to Debbie.
Yes.
What is the temperature inside the cooling duct? You won't get this one.
Do not. No, sorry.
Hang on a sec, Mary. I'm just adding a point to the bonus pot. You can try, Mary, yes.
I'm thinking, is it like 100 degrees?
It is not 100 degrees, no. Because that was a bonus pot question, that rather... Sorry, that was a... You won't get this one.
It's too late for the answer.
It is. Double points going to the bonus pot. No, the answer was, in fact, over 200 degrees.
Oh, okay.
But good effort. And There's now 6 points in the bonus pot for this question. While Watson was phoning his family, what word was flashing on the monitor above his head?
Whose question is this?
You're pressing bonus pot questions!
I'll look at, is it emergency?
No, it wasn't, no.
How about critical?
Yeah.
All right. How did we end up with a bonus pot without...
Because he skipped... He skipped. Remember, he came back to me and then went to Debbie, so now we're at the end of the...
Partly because you keep interrupting me here. But now we're back to where we should be. Right. In last place, 1 point, it's Kirby. In third place with 6 points, it's Debbie. In second place with 9 points, it's Mary. And then the lead with 18 points is Andy.
Can't believe that.
Right. This is Mary's question. Right. After rendering Sarah unconscious, where did the doctor take her? Everyone's going very quiet. You don't know?
Don't
worry. Hey? Was that you don't know?
That's a don't know.
Okay. Anybody?
A hospital of sorts.
No. It was decontamination. Right. Okay. Andy.
Mm-hmm.
When Sarah came around, what part of her body did she say hurt?
I know.
Go on, Debbie.
Hang on.
Go on, Debbie. She was.
Hang on. I've got me. Play me. Be points. Right, Debbie.
Chin.
Pardon?
A chin.
Oh, dear. My dinger went wrong. Right. Oh, dear. Right. Was that Andy's question? Yes, therefore, this is now Kirby's question.
Master?
What did Watson intend to do with the hand when he saw it crawling around on the CCTV monitor?
I don't know.
Wow, that doesn't happen very often. Right, anybody? Oh dear, right, okay, we're going to give it a... The answer was get it out and put it in a sealed container.
Ha, Tupperware, yes. Mm.
Yeah, back into the Tupperware.
Right, that was Kirby's question, wasn't it? Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is Driscoll?
What's his title? What's that what you mean?
Yeah, well, no, essentially, what's his part in the story? Who is Driscoll?
React the monitor operator.
Not quite what I'm looking for, but I love your thinking there.
He's the guy who marches into the reactor with the hand.
It's the hand.
Deary me. Very strange noise. Right, so that was Debbie's question, wasn't it, originally? Is that right?
Yep.
Yes.
And did I get it right?
Yeah, you got a point for that, yes.
Did someone keep putting the hand over the microphone?
Yes, it's me, because I'm still coughing and spluttering.
Can I come up with a bit of a suggestion? Can you, instead of putting your hand on the microphone, just lean away from the microphone and cough over the back of the chair?
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, right.
You could click the little mute thing.
He hasn't got
thing.
Time to do that, Kirby. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I've got time to do it. That's a trouble.
Yes, right. Debbie?
It's a trouble?
Hang on, that was your question, Debbie, wasn't it?
That wasn't the question.
Bonus pot question, then. There's 6 points in the bonus pot. I thank goodness for my mathematical abilities that all the jokers have been used at this stage. Right. So the question for the bonus pot is, what was the last thing that Sarah said just before the doctor hypnotized her? Oh, dear. Okay, I think that silence was long enough.
Was the question what she said or what he said? Sorry.
What was the last thing that Sarah said just before the doctor hypnotised her?
Not again.
No, that's not. It was still wrong anyway, but it still stays as 6 points in the bonus. What the answer was, that's not fair. Right, Mary. as I say, rollover bonus pots. There's going to be quite a lot, I would imagine, in the next round.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we're going
to
have.
Mary, how did the Doctor describe what happened when they expected the reactor to blow up?
I know.
He called it an unexplosion.
Yeah.
He did indeed. Right, Andy.
Yep.
How did Sarah muse they might communicate with Eldrad?
I know, hand signals.
You would know, it's your question, yes, silly man.
It's your question.
Yeah, I know. All right, give me a chance.
Kirby.
Master.
How do you stop your eardrums from getting perforated from an explosion?
Oh, hang on, Andy. Sakes.
Kirby.
Hold your nose and open your mouth.
Debbie.
And look very silly. You cross your eyes, too.
Yeah.
What colour did Eldrad's eyes turn while looking into the Doctor's mind, Debbie?
I know.
Red.
Oh, well, that's an interesting answer. Go on in, Andy.
Blue.
I probably wasn't looking up at that point.
Yeah, obviously, it did happen a few times, so you must have been looking down at just the wrong time.
Like three or four times.
7 points in the bonus spot for this question. This could change the game. Wow, sort of. How did Eldrad describe Castria? It's all gone quiet over there. Okay, well, I'll get over that. Rolls over yet again. The answer was cold and unhospitable, or inhospitable, I should say. Right, so there's 7 points still in the bonus spot. It rolls over. This is Mary's question. Do you want to do it? Should we do the points? In last place with 4 points, it's Kirby. In third place with 7 points, it's Debbie. In second place with 11 points, it's Mary. And then the lead with 21 points, it's Andy. Mary's question. Apart from being sentenced to obliteration, what was done to his reputation? That's Eldrad, obviously.
Yeah.
Hmm?
I don't know.
I know.
Oh, apparently Debbie knows.
Apparently. Hmm? He was discredited.
He was. I apologise to Laurie for missing the bell then. It didn't quite... I'll do it properly this time. There we go. Right. Right, so Andy's question.
Okay, got him.
What was the last of the long series of numbers the Doctor asked Eldrad to enter into the TARDIS console?
I got halfway through that and gave up, so I've not got the faintest idea.
Anybody? It's worth a guess, really, but if you already know it, that's even better. Anybody?
I'm going to say 4.
Oh, I love people having a go at it, but still wrong. The answer was 5. We should have said that, Debbie, instead of just keeping quiet.
I was guessing.
Yeah, okay. Right, whose question was that originally? I've lost where I was.
Mine.
Right.
Mine.
Kirby.
Master.
What would happen if Eldrad had misset the coordinates?
I know.
I don't know.
Wow, Kirby. You've said that so more times on this quiz than I've ever heard them said before. Who said I know?
Mary, I said it.
Go on in, Mary.
They'll never land anywhere, ever. Ever, ever, ever.
I got ever written down, but yes, that was
well done. I love that. Right then,
I told you I didn't study for this one at all.
This must be Debbie's question then. Ready, okay. Debbie? Right. Yeah. How did Sarah describe her first impression of Castria to Eldrad?
I think I know.
Oh, sorry, I pressed that a bit soon. Sorry, Debbie.
Not really sure.
Is that a no then? You don't know?
Yeah.
I've already played the did deer, so we'll keep it as that did deer. Kirby knows, apparently.
It's very nice.
Here's the correct answer. Right, there's 12 points in the bonus spot.
Oh my!
Well, you can't double anything, there's only jokers left. But it could make a difference to this question. Where did Eldrad plan to go just before being struck in the chest?
I think I...
Go on then, Mary.
The regeneration chamber.
That's a really good try.
I know.
But really, really wrong. Oh. Hang on. Kirby knows.
Yeah, Kirby got there first, yeah.
May I say?
You may.
The thermal chambers.
Yes. Should have said it.
Good. Right. So the scores are at the moment. In last place with 8 points is Debbie. In third place with 12 points is Mary. In second place with 17 points is Kirby. And then the lead with 21 points is Andy.
Boy, I jumped from bottom to second.
Mary's question.
Yes?
What was in the tube that hit Eldrad?
I know.
It was acid.
Andy.
Do we get extra points for knowing what the acid?
You would have done, but you won't get any. Mary would have done, but she gets 2 points because that's what it says on the question sheet. And I'm not going to allow you to give the full answer because I want to carry on. Andy.
Mm-hmm.
What level did they arrive at the bottom of the shaft?
I know.
Hang on, I've actually got it written down somewhere. Level 306.
Kirby.
Master.
What did the crystal in the ring carry?
I know.
I don't know.
Oh, I can play it. I can play this. Andy, you know?
Well, I've got written down 100 million crystal particles.
Interesting. Not quite what I had in my thing. The answer. Oh, God, hang on. The dog wants to come in.
Come on, Finn. Come on.
Alexa, turn front room light on. The answer, according to my thingy, is Eldrad's genetic code. So now there's... What?
Okay.
What do you mean, okay? Ooh. Whose question was that for originally? I've lost where it was. Must be Kirby's.
Yes.
So therefore, this is Debbie's question.
Yes?
Who appears on the screen to talk to Eldrad?
I know.
I know, yeah.
Come on.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Therefore, we play this. And I think Kirby said, I know first.
Yeah, I think you got the third, yeah.
King Rokine.
Yeah. What, King Rollo.
I couldn't remember his name. All I could think of was Rollo.
My first science fiction convention was Rokkon.
Yeah, but all I could think of was Rollo.
There are 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. Ooh. What did the doctor give Eldrad instead of the ring?
I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
It's the little magician stick thing. The stick thing.
Is the correct answer.
The stick thing.
So the scores are, with hardly any questions left, thank goodness. In last place with 8 points, Debbie. In third place with 14 points, Mary. In second place, I'm getting ready to do them really well here. Second place with 21 points, Kirby. In the lead with 23 points, Andy. I can see a very weird thing panning out for this quiz. Right, and there are 4 questions left, so no more bonus points available. So, Mary, your last question is this. What did the doctor ask Sarah to pass him from out of his jacket pocket while back in the console room? Not the sonic screwdriver, obviously, but what did he ask? I'll ask that question again. What did the doctor first ask Sarah to pass?
Loads of things.
What did the doctor first ask Sarah to pass him out of his jacket pocket while back in the console room?
First ask or last ask?
First ask.
I'm sorry, you said it was the first thing
The first thing he asked for, yes.
Okay, astro rectifier?
Nope. Anybody?
Mergen nut?
I love all these notes. No, it was the Ganymede driver. Was the answer to the
I was going for the multi-quantiscope.
I was going for the Zeus plugs.
The Zeus plugs, yes.
Right. Yeah, Andy. So many different things. Yeah, go on, then.
Who did Sarah promise to give the doctor's love to when they got home?
The Brigadier and Harry.
My dinger's not dinging because I'm not hitting it properly, but is the correct answer. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What row did Sarah Jane live at?
I know.
Hillview Road.
Yep.
And Debbie.
Yeah?
What is the last thing that the fourth doctor says to Sarah?
Yes. Till we meet again, Sarah.
Stop it.
Yeah, go for
Kirby.
It.
I'll sip out my last drink of tea.
You need to make some more.
Nah, it's too late. No, I'm going to have some alcoholic stuff later so I can settle down for the evening after a very stressful day. Right, so, Mary... predicted, well, these are the scores before we do that business. In last place, 10 points Debbie. In third place, 14 points Mary. In second place, 23 points Kirby. And in the lead, 25 points Andy. Right, so Mary predicted Andy to be ahead. which makes life very interesting, and Mary to be on the bottom. Okay. Right. Andy predicted Kirby to be ahead. Oh, dear. And Andy to be at the bottom. Oh, dear. Right. Mm. Kirby predicted Andy to be ahead. And Mary to be at the bottom. And Debbie predicted Debbie to be ahead. And Andy to be at the bottom. So, the final scores on this week's You Won't Get This One. In last place with 10 points, Debbie.
Right.
In third place with 25 points, Andy. In second place with 28 points, Mary. But the winner this week with 46 points, it's Kirby. So, more comments have come through on the Facebook live feed. I've got six viewers. Went from 8 to 6 very quickly. Probably my face became available again. Oh, no, it's been available all the time, isn't it? Because I just changed windows. Laurie Nix. Sorry, Lillian Robinson. Happy birthday, Ian, Adam and the podcast. Thank you, Lillian. Laurie Nix said, Mandragora. Mandragora. Or something like that. Lillian Robinson says, Kirby to win, Mary to be last. And Alan T. Butcher said proprietary actually pronounced propitiatory rather that than proprietary.
Propitiatory.
Oh, is that propitiatory? Propitiatory. Oh.
Well, I'm not doing it anymore.
Jippy.
Yes, you are.
Laurie Nick says, are we at negative 107 points? I've lost count. And Lillian Robin said, obviously, I was very wrong in who would win. Right. So that rather points us down the Doctor Who news. Not expecting to find any, to be fair. But we're going to have a look anyway. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, there's an Eighth Doctor Big Finish special offer. Blood of the Daleks Part 1.
It's all the Eighth Doctor stories that are 50% off.
Ooh, dearie me. Andy, are you right there? Dear. So Andy's fallen off something.
He fell asleep.
All the Eighth Doctor adventures, which are really good, with Sheridan Smith, and then his Dark Eyes and Doom Coalition sets, they're all 50% off.
I personally think it's Sheridan Smith. It's about time she was in the proper series. Right, Knock Knock script is up for auction, and it's signed by several people, including... the people on the front, which I can't read their names. Original Unearthly Child script is also up for auction. We talked about this last time. I think it's probably sold by now. Big Finish Energy of the Daleks on vinyl, with the new Doctor Who logo on the front of it. Doctor Who Magazine 525, available at whoone.co.uk, with John Pertwee on the cover, is available, with loads of other bits and bobs in it. River Song versus the Masters of Big Finish. River Song will be facing the Masters of Big Finish in the fifth series of Diary of River Song, released in November. Sorry, November, January 2019. Where did I get November from? this series will see Michelle Gomez return as Missy and Eric Roberts reprise his role, or even reprise it, as the Master. Yes? What?
Nothing.
Jeffrey Beavers and Derek Jacobi also playing the Master. Of course, the four audio series made an arrangement at the BBC Studios. Riversong, played by Alex Kingston, has shone alongside several incarnations of the Doctor, including Paul McGann, Sylvester McCoy, Colin Baker, Peter Davis, and then upcoming in August, Tom Baker. That sounds so good. Big Finish Sixth Doctor meets the 80s Cybermen. All these Big Finish stories now have the new Doctor Who logo on the front of them. So that's quite interesting. And US movie theatre showing Genesis of the Daleks. So
I'm hoping to go see that.
You've seen Genesis of the Daleks?
On a big screen?
No, but that's not the point. So that's essentially Doctor Who news. That's essentially Doctor Who news. And before we move on to the part of the show where we talk about the sponsors, Alexa, dim front room light 200%. Thank you. It was far too dim. I couldn't see what I was doing. Could you talk to us about your experiences? This may take some time, listeners, so you might want to go and make a cup of tea or something like I've just done. But could you talk about your experiences at the convention that you went to most recently, please, Kirby?
Okay. Last weekend was another Hulanta. This time they've moved hotels again. They were way down by the airport, which is a good long way away from me, as you know from the time that you had me on the podcast driving from the airport a few weeks ago. And we had to pay for parking, which was different. So I went down there for a little time on the Friday night, met up with friends, usual business. I hung out with the Earth Station 1 podcast people and met some people from various other podcasts that I have been starting to listen to. And I'm sorry, guys. I don't remember the name of their podcast. They're going to kill me.
Well, don't worry. They're not going to be listening, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Yes, they will. They do listen.
Right. Okay, go on.
Friday night I was on a Douglas Adams Hitchhiker's Guide panel, of course. Saturday, I was tired, so I went home. Came back the next day, prepared with my costume, where I was possessed by the nucleus of the swarm.
Yeah, I saw that. It was brilliant. Really,
oh, you
really
liked
good.
It?
Yeah, really good.
It's kind of. I couldn't quite figure out how I was going to do the feathers. I could not see at all.
Oh dear! But you didn't have any accidents or anything.
People were kind of pointing me one way or another.
Right. For all the people that were helping you out in that instance.
And also one weird thing that happened. Let me check this on Instagram. I took a video of the TARDIS. It's the standard TARDIS that we see around here all the time at most of the conventions. It's very well done. It's got this wonderful backdrop inside of it where as you approach it, it looks very realistic. Let me go into Instagram and see now how many views this thing has had. It is up to, as of this moment, 17,257 views of a 30-second video walking up to the TARDIS.
Cool.
I've never had anything go viral before.
Well done.
So went in and listened to the convention chairman interview Louise Jameson. She is so nice.
Yeah. I've met her once. I've spoken to her once and met her once. Yeah, she's lovely.
Got in line to have an action figure of Leela autographed. I got behind some friends of mine who came all the way from England to the convention. And guess what? Yes.
What?
they came with...
Who? Hang on, I don't know who it is. I didn't hear it. What? Shush. Shush. I didn't hear who it was. Hello?
Go ahead, ooh. Mary.
The Robert McIntyre. He's one of the 20 megabyte followers. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Right.
I didn't hear who it was. I didn't hear because it just went dead and I didn't hear it. Didn't catch what I heard. My friends from Britain and it went quiet and then they bought. Who bought? So carry on, Kirby.
Robert and Helen McIntyre. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They brought a Leela action figure for Louise Jameson to sign.
Cool.
So, you posted a picture of that. Yeah.
It was hilarious. Just various walking around, taking. I took lots of pictures of people. Some excellent cosplay. Go out to my Facebook. I post these also on our Facebook on 20 megabyte. If not, I will.
Thank you. That'd be good if you could.
Because I still have Sunday's pictures I haven't taken off my phone yet. Two of my girls, the two older ones, came up with the Lego Dalek, which was very well received. Although it took them over an hour to put it together once they got to the convention.
Loads of people were posting pictures of it, which was quite cool.
Yes. It was great. I didn't really go to any panels. Got my picture taken with Louise Jameson. And also, I actually bought three books at the convention. The convention was the introduction of a book called Children of Time, The Companions of Doctor Who. Commentaries on 88 of the Doctor's Assistants, Associates, and Best Friends. I haven't started reading it yet, but it's fascinating. It's got a different chapter by various people are writing different chapters. And they had a lineup of many of the people who provided chapters and they were providing autographs. I also got a book called Why I Geek, an anthology of fandom origin stories, edited by Stephen Webb and Clay Dockery. It was kind of funny meeting Clay Dockery because I went to junior high with his dad. Hello.
I'm listening. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. And I also picked up Wayne Tillett. He's the caricature artist that you've seen. Particularly, he was at the Con GTs. He put out a wonderful book. You would like this, Adam.
Yes.
It's called Where Do the Strawberries Grow? And it's a wonderful little book about the Beatles.
Yeah. I did a good book about the Beatles, didn't I, Kirby?
Well, this is illustrated. This is illustrated in his wonderful style. It's very, very nice.
I love the Beatles.
Yes, so you ought to get that book.
And the Stones.
And
the Who.
Then I went to a whole bunch of panels on Sunday and posted pictures of them. Yeah. And then all just had a great time. I think I was on a guest on three live podcasts.
Wow.
So.
Well done. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I look forward to seeing the pictures you're going to post on the 20 Megabyte Talk 2 podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Thank you. Right, and thank you for that, Kirby. Great stuff. I'm sure I gave you the task of taking that something to record stuff with, but as per usual, you expect me to go to a convention and record stuff, but anyone else goes to one, completely different story.
I forgot.
You forgot. Okay, I'll make sure I forget next time. Hey, Debbie?
Yeah, we'll forget.
Yes, whowon.co.uk are illustrious, long-running sponsors who've been sponsoring the show for nearly 8 years. Have some things. I did allude to the.
Master. The podcast, the other podcast people that I met for the first time,
yes,
were the Discussing Who.
Oh, don't think I've heard of them. I have now.
And two of those guys also are on Podshot.
I like Podshot. Never got the gig. I like the DW Who cast. Never got the gig. But you try these things, and obviously when you're not very good at podcasts, and you don't get them. Anyway, moving on. DWM2525, which is the Doctor Who magazine I alluded to earlier. I did tell you it was going to be available at whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
You can get it a lot faster if you order it through them if you don't live in Great Britain. Men of War, which is a big Finnish story, is available now, featuring the first Doctor. Yes, they've dug up William Hartnell. And no, it's actually it's an audio venture that's read by Peter Purvis. DWM Special 49 is also still available, along with Audio Annual 2. Six more thrilling stories of adventures in time and space, not space and time, from the original Doctor Who annuals. So there's loads of that and a few other bits and bobs also available. Coming soon. You've missed my birthday, everybody. So I do thank a certain person for buying me my bell. I've already thanked him. I'm going to thank him again. Aliens Among Us 3, Torchwood. Churchill Years 2, Big Finish. Death of Captain Jack. Lots of Torchwood stories coming out. Heliax Rift, Fifth Doctor, Big Finish, and Lure of the Nomad. All these are forthcoming titles on Big Finish, and there's also, I think, an audio book version of Mordred and Undead, which is coming out on CD. So go to Who Won for your stuff like that. And also, lavazi.co.uk, where if you're not a Doctor Who fan, then don't bother buying the Fourth Doctor scarves. But if you are, you should have one already in your...
Pastor?
Oh, what?
No, this is good. Okay, you know, when you go to a Doctor Who convention, you see lots of people walking around with scarves.
You do, I would hope so.
I had people stop me and compliment my scarf.
I should hope so, too.
Yes, mine's one of the best ones.
Well, I would think it would be.
So yes.
Did you say I got it from Lavazzi?
Also, I have some more news when we're done with the sponsors.
Okay. So plenty of Fourth Doctor scarves, including the Series 18 one, which I've got on my hook behind me, and Deb's chucked in the washing machine because she thinks summer's finally arrived. But I didn't actually wear it at all during the winter. That's interesting. But both of my scarves are in the wash. But had them for a few years now. They're quite, apart from the first one, I got damaged somewhere along the line. But the one they replaced it with was in perfect condition, and they're very good. If you get any problems with the, you know, if they come in faulty or whatever, they'll replace them for you for free. Lovely company to be associated with, and they bring out lovely stuff for cosplayers to wear, and for people who aren't cosplayers, just normal human beings that aren't into stuff like this, to wear as well. Debbie's particularly interested in some of the standard scarves that you can get that are nothing. There's a lovely sort of, there's a paisley striped shawl, which be obviously not in the summer you wouldn't want, but it's a lovely thing to buy a slightly hippie-ish friend. And everybody has a hippie-ish friend, don't they? So, mm-hmm. But among them, there's a beautiful cotton star square scarf for any American people. Yeah, just have a look on their website, the tartan scarves and some beautiful things here. So lavazi.co.uk. Before you look at the Doctor Who, Star Trek and Sherlock stuff, look at their normal range of fashion items. Did somebody try to interrupt me then? It usually happens, so if you didn't, I'm a bit taken aback. No? Okay, right. The next story...
I was going to tell you some more.
I'm ready. I'm ready and raring to go. Okay. But I want to watch the BAFTAs.
Two things. Hulanta has announced that after next year, they will be going on hiatus.
Ooh. That's not good news.
So next year may be the last Hulanta.
Yeah, but that's not good news, Kirby, is it?
No.
No.
And also, Conca-Cerberus... It's a very convoluted thing to don't. I'm not going to explain it, but they have had to drop Dominic Glynn.
Yes, I've heard about this, but I don't know whether we should talk about it.
No, I don't think we're supposed to talk about that.
He's been dropped. We're not going to go into the political side of it, but yes, Dominic Glynn has been dropped from Conca-Cerberus. And also, all I'm going to say on that score is don't believe everything you read on social media. Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on, Kirby.
Read the On the Conca Facebook group. Yeah. You will get the real.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good line. Very good line there, Kirby. I'd give you a ding for that, but I can't be bothered. Carry on.
Matthew contacted me last night. I'm going to be on a prisoner panel at Conca. Oh.
Good. Is that going to be a long-term sentence? I bloody well hope so.
be sure. Let me bring up the calendar.
Uh-oh.
Matthew has scheduled a live podcast, Kirby, on Sunday.
Kirby.
Yes?
Matthew is talking to the man in charge in regards to this particular feature of Conca-Cerberus, so you don't have to tell me about something that he's already spoken to me about. But if you want to tell the listeners that there will be a live link-up with Conca-Cerberus, you can do so. But he has consulted me in the correct way first before confirming this particular feature of the con.
Okay, Sunday, June the 10th, at the usual time.
Yes, indeed. For apparently an hour and a half, I've got.
Might not be on that one. Oh.
Debbie.
What?
Where is it? It's here somewhere. Oh, there it is.
What? I might not be on that one.
Oh, Debbie.
Master.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah, sorry, Kobe. Yeah.
I also put information about the Wayne Tillett's book on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group page.
Marvelous. Anything else? Any other items?
Yeah,
no.
No.
Good. Therefore, our next recording will be on the 3rd of June. That's because next week I have a pre-wedding shoot in the evening. The week after that, I'll be holidaying in Blackpool. I used to do podcasts while on holiday in the old days when Alicia used to actually do podcasting. So therefore, the next available date for me to record on is the 3rd of June. And the week after that is Congress Troberus.
It's good that we're skipping next week because otherwise I'd have to skip out of...
Damn, should we do one next week after all, everybody? I'll try and cancel the pre-wedding shoot.
Because my wife and I are going to see a silent movie at a theater in Marietta.
Cool, that's
going
to be a challenge for you, actually staying silent during a silent movie for
First of all, we love silent movies, and we've seen this one before.
Yeah.
It's the movie was the winner of the first Best Picture Academy Award.
Cool. So did you manage to stay silent during this silent movie?
There is...
What is that, Birth of a Nation?
I notice he's not answering the question.
Wings.
Wings.
It's called Wings.
Okay.
And it has
Paul McCartney's
soundtrack. I don't know if it's going to have a soundtrack with it of music or if they're going to be playing the organ. There's a theater organ in this theater.
Okay. Thank you for that, Kirby.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, so something funny said, though, and I missed it. Right, so like I say, listeners and viewers, the 3rd of June is the date we'll be looking at The Deadly Assassin.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it's not, you're not going to be looking backwards on it unless you want to go to the previous time that we reviewed the story.
Well, it's been years since I've seen it, and it's one we have never done.
Well, I thought we had done it.
Nope.
Okay, if you say so.
You can check the document that I've put together where I'm keeping track of all these things.
Oh, that's a bit of a disappointment because that means I've got to write some questions on it.
Yes, you have to write questions.
Bum.
You want me to do some questions?
I don't know, might do, but then I'm going to end up looking stupid, won't I, at the quiz if I'm... and...
Yeah, not like I didn't look stupid earlier, honestly.
That's different.
Red eyes, honestly.
That's different.
Come on.
I mean, the other thing is you've got to try and do that and then also tote up the scores. I have a spreadsheet on my screen at the same time, you see.
I would just use pen and paper and tally the old-fashioned way.
Do you really think I can trust these old-fangled methods?
A truly modern
something
man.
Something really strange happened. Because only the other birthday present I got, apart from bits and bobs, obviously, two main things I got, the lovely teas made there, and the Big Bang Theory Monopoly. Now, two things I want to say about the Monopoly situation. The bride that Deb did at the weekend, Karen, her family collect Monopolies, but never open them. They collect them, and they've got piles and piles of collectible Monopolies. But we've got some collectible ones like Disney Monopoly, but we open them and play them. But
play them. What's the point?
It's collectible. Really. They're much more valuable if you don't open them, basically. Especially Disney Monopoly is quite expensive if you don't open it in mint condition. It's very, very valuable. Yes, I did get Big Bang Theory Monopoly, and we were looking on the back of the box as to the tokens that they put in there, and we're thinking how fascinating. These are the best selection of tokens I've seen in a Monopoly. And for me, it was a bit of a spoiler to find that Raj had a dog. And I thought, that's a bit of, we now know what's going to happen. Raj is going to get a dog. Anyway, so we then decided to watch Big Bang Theory. And what happened at the end of the episode we watched, he got his dog. That was a really weird state of affairs that happened to be our next episode. So that's Series 5, by the way, listeners, if you're looking at Big Bang Theory. We're nearly halfway through now. Yes?
Master? Are you watching the current episodes?
No, I'm watching them in order from the beginning. So I eventually will catch up with the current stuff, and then by the time I get to the current stuff, that'll be the end of that series, and I can wait for Series 12 with excitement.
The most recent episode was really good, but I can't tell you.
No, you can't. Shut up. There's been a lot of good episodes. It's very funny. I love the new characters. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who said they watched the first four series of Big Bang Theory and said it went downhill once the female characters, other than Penny, came into it. But it's not. It's actually getting better and better with the female characters. It's getting funnier, more consistently funny. The characters all round bounce off each other brilliantly, and it's a wonderful ensemble they've got there at the moment. This is only at series five. Like I say, that's nearly halfway through the whole of Big Bang Theory. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to envy me for the Young Sheldon watch. Anyway, it's not really like Big Bang Theory, but it is brilliant.
Yes.
So, third of June, listener viewers, we're going to carry on and finish off with the last few comments on the Facebook feed. We've got Laurie Nick said, I've done that one. Terry Miles, Adam, if you are coming over to the Big Island to your north, have you got your passport ready? I do have a passport, but I assure you, you don't actually need one to go to the mainland. But thank you anyway, Terry. I think they should have a passport to come here. We certainly should have one to go there. But yeah, and I'd also like to say a particular congratulations to Southampton Football Club for avoiding relegation from the Premier League, amazingly and rather surprisingly. So I'm absolutely delighted on that score. And apart from that, see you again next time. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye, y'all.
Right. Oh, damn, it wasn't recording.
What?
Language, Timothy.
That we're not doing the next two Sundays because I won't be here for either one of them either, so that'd be great.
No,
did you not record?
You are dark.
You are so easy to wind up. I'm going to have to go because Isla's still awake waiting for a song. So
and I need to go.
Can you sing that quietly? Because I don't really want to hear that one. Thank you, Debbie.
Here.
Okay, bye everybody. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye y'all.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.